In this video, we're going to cover the origin of the cult, the Branch Davidians, as well as the leader David Koresh's rise to power within the cult. If you haven't heard about the Branch Davidians yet, they are an apocalyptic religious group. Most people refer to them as a cult, but what made this cult one of the most famous, well-known, and media-covered cult was law enforcement, specifically the U.S. federal government, Texas state law enforcement, and the U.S. military's siege of the Branch Davidians compound. This happened over the course of 50 days in 1993. This siege resulted in the compound going up in flames, and as a result, 76 people dying, including children. Netflix is actually releasing a documentary series called Waco American Apocalypse on March 22nd. And before that docuseries comes out, I wanted to go in detail on the background of the Branch Davidians because I've always heard about the siege itself. I've heard about David Koresh and some of his ideas, but I actually haven't heard the origin of the Branch Davidians and how that even happened. I thought you guys, some people on the internet, would be interested as well. And if you are interested in topics such as this one and any other true crime, cult-related, paranormal, crazy, spooky topics, make sure to hit that subscribe button because I post twice a week here on this channel. I post Cauldron Convos, a podcast, and I also post here shorter form videos. I'm making this a multiple-part series, so in another video, probably in a few days or a week or so, I'll talk more about the Branch Davidians' life at the compound, and then another video on the Waco siege specifically, as that was a 51-day event, and I don't want to miss any details here, you know, and I don't think you want me talking for 3 hours about stuff like this. In 1935, a Bulgarian immigrant named Victor Hotev established the General Association of Davidian Seventh-day Adventists. And as his Davidian group grew, gaining members, the leadership actually moved to the top of a hill several miles east of Waco, Texas, that they named Mount Carmel, you know, alluding to the Bible. But the founder, Victor, died in 1955, leaving the organization to his wife. That same year, Rodin, some guy who was a follower, just told the members that he just, you know, coincidentally received a message from God and wrote a series of letters presenting it to the Davidians here on this hilltop church, Mount Carmel. And he said that the name Branch was the new name Jesus had taken, according to biblical prophecies, of course, that he had, to reflect a new stage of his work in the heavenly sanctuary. And those that accepted this random follower, Rodin, who's claiming to have prophecies, teachings, became known as the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventists. So the Branch Davidians came from this 1955 split after Rodin took a bunch of people to his own thing. Victor's widow, who's currently running the General Association of Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, she's claiming that there's an Armageddon coming. And members were told to gather at the center to await this event. So members started building houses, they started sleeping in tents, setting up campsites, sleeping in vans, and selling all of their possessions because they thought the end of the world was coming. And after the Armageddon didn't actually happen, people were leaving. She dissolved the Davidian Association in 1962. She sold Mount Carmel. In February 1973, Mount Carmel was sold to Benjamin Rodin, Lois Rodin, and their son George Rodin. In 1978, Benjamin Rodin died, leaving the Branch Davidian to his wife, Lois Rodin. This is kind of where David Koresh comes in the picture. Before we get into it, I just want to give a little bit back on David Koresh. David Koresh was actually Vernon Wayne Howell, was what he went by. He was born in 1959 in Houston, Texas, and was predominantly raised by his grandparents. The family were avid churchgoers, and Koresh attended a Seventh-day Adventist church, although he was later kicked out for clashing with church leaders. Red flag. After trying to make it as a rock star in Los Angeles, Koresh headed back to Texas and joined Branch Davidians. That is so funny. Like, couldn't someone have just let him be a rock star? And then all this would not have happened. I'm blaming everyone else but David Koresh. I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Fuck David Koresh. So he joined the Branch Davidians, a religious group whose leaders claimed that they were Messiah status. All right, flash forward. David Koresh, grown up, rock star, failed attempt. Now he's at the Branch Davidians. So after Benjamin Rodin died in 1978, now it's 1981. So 3 years later is when Vernon Hayne Howell, later David Koresh, but at this point in the story, his name is Vernon Hayne Howell, joined the Branch Davidians in 1981. And in 1983, Koresh began claiming the gift of prophecy. Of course, everyone at these places just has so many prophecies. Where are my prophecy? I have a prophecy that Taco Bell should come out with the new nacho fries again. Do they have them? I don't know. I can never keep track. They have them, they don't. They have them, they don't. Stick with them. People like them. Anyway, in 1983, Koresh began claiming the gift of prophecy. Now, there's speculation that Vernon had a sexual relationship with Lois Roden, aka the widow of Benjamin Roden, and she was the leader of the sect. She was in her 60s at the time, and Vernon was claiming that God had chosen him to father a child by Lois, who would be the chosen one, even though she's in her 60s. So I don't know. I guess miraculous conception. Or maybe she was a late bloomer, late ender. People call them late enders, people that end menstruation late in life. I don't know, whatever. The same year Howell said he had this gift of a prophecy, Lois actually allowed Koresh to begin teaching his own message called the Serpent's Root. Sounds evil to me. I wouldn't let someone teach anything about serpents, you know? He was, you know, playing the guitar, singing songs at the Branch Davidians, and Lois was all for it. She was encouraging him to sing and play these songs. You know, he couldn't be a rock star, so now he's at a cult rocking it on the guitar, jamming out with Lois, his 6-year-old wife. Not really. Hypothetically, whatever. The fact that he was able to teach his serpent's root caused controversy in the group, obviously, because the leader is just letting some guy teach other people a message. This guy that just joined 2 years ago, like, who is he? Like, you know, like, over here we got Tom Wayne over here on the organ. He's been here for 25 years. No one's listened to his prophecy just because David Koresh is smooth-talking Lois? Really? I don't know. Now, Koresh announced that God had instructed him to actually marry this woman named Rachel Jones, who at the time, actually, I take that back, was just a girl. She was 14 years old. I did not even mean for that to happen. I think that's really disturbing. Well, one, illegal. Just two, morally disgusting. Like, grow up. And later on, he married her sister, her younger sister. Let that sink in. He had to go even worse after, you know, marrying a girl at 14. A fire ended up destroying a $500,000 administration building, and Roden said that Vernon, or David Koresh, started the fire. But Koresh replied that, quote, no man set that fire and that it was a judgment of God. The son of Lois, who was George Roden, forced Koresh and his group off the property at gunpoint. By the way, I keep calling him Koresh, but at the time he was Vernon. He changes his name to Koresh. I know, so complicated. Did you have to change your name? Really? George Roden forced Vernon and his group off of the property at gunpoint. As a result, Vernon, later David Koresh, and about 25 of his followers set up a camp in Palestine, Texas, which was, you know, miles and miles away from this Mount Carmel. And somewhere along the line, he decides to travel to Israel. You know, I don't know how much money he's making out here playing the guitar at a cult, but apparently enough to go to Israel. Maybe he had a birthright or something. I don't know. Where he claimed he had a vision that he was the modern day Cyrus. Like, I love how people can just claim that they have visions. Like, I have dreams every night, you know? Like, imagine if That's So Raven started a cult because she was like, I have visions. Honestly, I'd rather follow That's So Raven because her visions came true. These people... no proof that you're the modern day Cyrus. Thanks, buddy. Sit back down, Vernon. And he said he wanted to be God's tool and set up the Davidic kingdom in Jerusalem. But then he changed his mind. You know, he took that back. He's like, Jerusalem, he got there. And he was like, they don't have the things that I like in America. Like, these people don't really enjoy my guitar playing like they do in America. My shot at being a rock star is slim. So then he said the prophecies of Daniel would actually be fulfilled in Waco, Texas. And that the Mount Carmel Center was coincidentally the Davidic kingdom. So what he got kicked out of, God told him, nope, go back there. Go back there and take the kingdom. In 1987, George Roden exhumed at least one body from the community's cemetery. He said he was actually just moving the cemetery. He was like, I'm just taking one body and putting it over there. Like, gross. Like, why would you ever move a cemetery on your property of, I don't know how many acres, I think like 70 something. Vernon claimed that Roden had issued a challenge to resurrect the body and that whoever resurrected this body would be the new leader. Honestly, I wish they did that because no one would be able to resurrect that body. So Vernon, or Koresh, went to authorities to file charges against Roden for illegally exhuming a corpse, but was told he would have to show proof of this. So he took matters into his own hands by returning to the Mount Carmel Center with 7 armed followers allegedly attempting to get photographic proof of the exhumation of corpses. I don't know how they thought that they would get proof. Like, they just left the body laying there and they're gonna just snap a picture and bring it to the police. Of course, that's not actually what they were doing. They just said that to the police. But when Vernon's group was discovered by Roden, a gunfight broke out. Just casually, all these, you know, Christ lovers just having a gunfight out here, digging up corpses. When the sheriff arrived, Rodin had already suffered a minor gunshot wound and was pinned down behind a tree. As a result of the incident, Vernon and his followers were charged with attempted murder. At the trial, Vernon explained that he went to the Mount Carmel Center to uncover evidence of criminal disturbance of a corpse by Rodin. I don't know how, surprisingly, Texas in, I guess, the 80s wasn't that strict on the law, because they were acquitted, and in Vernon's case, a mistrial was declared. In 1989, Rodin murdered Wayman Dale Ader with an axe blow to the skull after Ader stated his belief that he himself was the true Messiah. And Jesus can't have that, so we're gonna take an axe to his head. Sounds so Christian of him. Rodin claimed the man was sent by Koresh, or Vernon, to kill him. He was judged insane and confined to a psychiatric hospital. Because Rodin owed thousands of dollars in unpaid taxes on the Mount Carmel Center, Vernon and his followers were able to raise the money and reclaim the property. Wow. If he wasn't David Koresh that literally got 76 people murdered and took them away from their families and harmed so many people, I'd be happy for him in this moment, but I'm not. Rodin continued to harass the Koresh faction by filing legal papers while he was imprisoned. And when Koresh and his followers reclaimed the Mount Carmel Center, they discovered that tenants who had rented from Rodin had left behind a meth lab, which Koresh reported to the local police department and asked to have removed. I'm surprised. I thought he was, you know, smoking the meth out there, because his thoughts were a little crazy over here. And by 1990, Vernon Howell changed his name to David Koresh once and for all. So now we're at 1990. As I said earlier, the siege didn't happen until February 28th, 1993. So what happened in these 3 years at the Branch Davidian compound? Stay tuned for the next video to find out what they were doing there, what happened when once David Koresh became David Koresh and took over and was the Messiah. I will say ta-ta. Ew. But for now, I will say ta-ta. And I'll see you guys next week here on Cauldron Capsules. And I'll see you even in 2-3 days if you want to watch Cauldron Combos as well. Bye!